Hey, Zo.
Morning.
Day five. Fifth and final day from Radio Row in Minneapolis leading up to Super Bowl 52. Now just 2 days away.
Feels like Groundhog Day, but it technically is Groundhog Day. And that fat rat. That,
six more weeks of winter,
that,
I heard.
That fat rat saw a shadow. So, yeah, tuck your head back in.
A ratty looking thing.
It is officially colder here than it is in Antarctica today with the wind chill.
Right now.
Factoring in the wind chill.
Oh, great.
Yes. So they've hit an all-time low in Minneapolis, but it doesn't matter because we're inside. So we're ready to go. Day five. This is it. Last one. Last day.
Got some good guests coming up here today.
Sure do.
Terry Bradshaw is going to join us a little more than 10 minutes from now.
Jim, you better have the old-time Steeler fight song ready to go, okay? All right? Bring him in with that.
The Terry Bradshaw, a man with many Super Bowl rings and obviously a long broadcasting career. You all know Terry Bradshaw. And so loves Terry Bradshaw.
Well, I mean, he had to have been your guy when
yes.
you were growing up.
Yeah, dad.
Was there anyone else?
Montana. It was Terry first, though, because you know, he was way ahead of Joe. Not way ahead, but pretty much ahead of Joe by about 10 years. And my dad would always take me down to Steeler training camp. Like, you know, when we do the broadcast, you see all the dads bring their kids down. And it was just so much more open and hands-on. Like, they used to have those. You'll see them in Nantucket, the wood fences, you know, like for the sand dunes. They kind of had those out of training camp, but you could get around them. And we used to know somebody who used to work for the Steelers. And, you know, Terry would always take me, be down on the field, and I would be down there with those old short jam shorts. Remember those jam shorts that looked like football pants? And a shirt that was mesh. It was just see-through mesh. And I looked like that kid from the Adam Sandler movie, 40 Days, 40 Nights, with, what's her name? And he's the brother, you know, the kid with the lift. If I'm going to kick your ass, Adam. You probably never saw the movie.
That one I don't know. Yeah. Can't help you.
But, yeah, back in the day, Terry Bradshaw was the shiznit. And, it's going to be fun having him on.
All right, so Terry Bradshaw will be with us.
I'd get that helmet signed if I were you.
Yeah, we will. We'll get him to sign that helmet.
He's got a cool autograph, too.
On top of that, just in this first hour alone, it looks like David Faraday will be joining us at 10:30.
He's a Brit, right? Hello. This should have some...
You can do whatever you want, but let's just make sure we are 100% sure on his nationality and country of origin.
Yeah, double check that for us.
He's either Brit. He's a Brit or Austrian. Australian. For beer.
I'm not even going to say out loud until I'm pretty sure I know where he's from, and I don't think it's England. So hold on, let me double check here.
Yep. Double that up.
Good. He's from England. He's got to be from England.
No, I think he's Irish. But then you got to be specific.
There's no way.
You got to be specific when you're talking about someone from Ireland, isn't
right? He's probably of Irish descent, but grew up in England.
But just stop it with that. You don't know.
It's like you're from Boston.
I'm letting him go. It's Friday. I don't care.
I don't care.
I really don't care. Please, God, don't not care yet.
Seriously, though, I want to first of all thank the Beasley Group, our new bosses and owners, for a fantastic get together.
We usually do that at the end of the show on Friday.
No, but
you're
last
doing it
night,
at the start of the show.
Last night, but last night, that's the thing most fresh and 100% turnout by everybody on this crew on this trip, and it was nice to pretty much cap the week off with that.
All right, we'll do more of that.
Good
later.
Stuff.
LaDainian Tomlinson today in the noontime hour. LT.
Yep.
We'll get some Patriots hate out of him. Louis Anderson.
This should be interesting.
Louis
like
Anderson,
said.
Comedian and actor Louis Anderson. At 1 p.m.
This has got a chance to be an absolute unmitigated train wreck or a grand slam. One or the other. There's nothing in the middle. It's going to happen here.
And along those celebrity lines, I will say this. Donnie and Jenny.
Nice.
Later in the show, 1 o'clock.
Okay,
David Faraday, Northern Ireland. And I didn't want to just say you have to say Northern Ireland.
Right.
It's important.
That's where the Brits settled.
No. Just don't.
Just stop talking.
Yeah, say, no, say
just
what,
stop talking.
Let him go.
You know what?
Let him go.
When he's on, I'm going to go get something to eat.
With Faraday, you might miss the best.
I would like.
Of the day.
Can we print out a map? Can we print out a map and have Zoe circle Ireland on it when Faraday comes?
I'm very good with that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's visual.
Yeah,
that he can
do.
No.
Where there's no markings. We're just,
of course. I'll show you where Northern Ireland is.
Oh, okay.
Right there. It's where you grew up there, Dave. Hello.
Can we print out a world map? Oh, guys, do you have that ability? Rick, we do? Yeah, world map.
Rick's like, yeah.
No labels.
Rick's had enough.
And I'd like to have him circle that. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, speaking of Louis Anderson, to go back to that, I watched the show that he is currently in, and wow. It is a little different. It's a little different.
Baskets?
Baskets.
Oh, it's different.
Zach Galifianakis. He plays Zach. Louis Anderson plays
I can't even
Zach Galifianakis' mother. And is easily the best character in the show.
And other than the wig and the clothes, makes no attempt to portray himself as a woman.
Is he as good
talks
as
talks the way he normally talks?
Yes. Is he as good as Nathan Lane in the Birdcage?
It's so good.
No, it's not a drag thing. It's just Louis dressed up as a woman.
He talks like a man?
He talks the way Louis talks.
He's just...
I'm out of problem with this.
It's great.
This is weird.
It's hysterical. It had me laughing. So I watched a few episodes of that to prep for the interview today. So we'll talk to Louis Anderson coming up a little later on. Yeah, you're right, though. Good dinner last night with everybody, so you enjoyed yourself?
It was good. Very good. Very nice.
We got pulled over on the way back to the hotel.
I can't believe that.
Right outside the hotel.
How was that? Did you have any good...
I was driving.
Did you have any good stuff in the back seat? Any
good stuff?
Any good credentialed guys?
We had Bob Soucy in the back seat. So the
tell the story.
Here's so there's we're like in the back of like I would say like an office park type of area.
Yeah,
and it's very dark down there, and there's a stop sign at the end of one of these roads that's directly across from the entrance to the parking lot, and I rolled right through that sucker.
It's very easy to roll through it.
Honestly, I didn't even realize there was a stop sign there. So we pull into the parking lot. And then all of a sudden, there's police lights behind us, and Jim goes, did you just get pulled over? I'm like, I'm pretty sure we're getting pulled over here inside the parking lot to our hotel. Comes up to the window, and he's like, where are you guys coming from? I'm like, I don't know, someplace in St. Paul. What's the name of the place, Jim? Like, St. Paul Grill. I'm like, yeah, St. Paul Grill. We came from St. Paul.
Right. Now, you and I were in the other car with Sean.
Yeah, Sean from Chicago.
Well, I didn't know. Okay, Sean from Chicago.
Yeah, Jim Louth. Jim Louth.
Say who he is.
My brother-in-law.
Your brother-in-law. Yeah. All right, I didn't know if you want to say that in the air. But
his name, his show name is Sean from Chicago.
But we weren't there, and all I was thinking was that Beetle went full Boston mode. It's like, hey, Officer Bullwinkle.
I went.
What's going on?
I didn't go full Bullwinkle.
Like the Pats?
But he knew right away that we weren't from around here. It's like, where are you guys from? I'm like, we're from Boston. We're out here for the week. We're working. He's like, what are you doing? Broadcasters. We got the play-by-play man in the back seat.
Is he shaking?
And I look in the rearview mirror, and so he's like, oh, God. Oh, God. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah.
We should have it set up to where they would drag him out of the car, put him in a clink for the night.
Verbal warning. Verbal warning. We got out of the
way. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So Mark Bertrand. Bertrand. Was not caught in a speed trap.
He's not speeding. No.
I told him to watch his Hans.
You don't put your Hans.
I couldn't believe it, though. I was like, stunned. All right. Terry Bradshaw is coming up next here on Radio Row on Zolak and Bertrand. First, the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Under Armour with Boomer providing his pick for the Super Bowl.
Radio Row, the legends of sports, the celebrities, the mall cops.
What are you doing here?
It's Zolak and Bertrand from Mall of America. Thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're from the town with the Super Bowl team. Three-time winner Steelers. We proved to the world that we have the best team. Congratulations, Steelers! Bradshaw and Rocky, Steelworth and Lee. Some of the super.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from Radio Row. We have a guest in our Big Y World Class Market guest chair.
Hey!
Terry Bradshaw, how are you?
You got a good radio voice, brother.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I did a show with Mark Malone, quarterback that was in Pittsburgh.
Right,
yeah,
here, number 16.
And even though, well, welcome back now to the Mark Malone Show.
Oh, very professional.
Here at WCW7 in Cottonville, Arizona. I went, wow.
Do you know
sounds
that
good.
Well, he lives full-time in Arizona now.
Oh, yeah.
He does play golf.
Yeah.
He drinks black coffee. Doesn't eat anything. He's got earrings now.
Stop it.
Oh, yeah. I see him all the time.
I saw the earrings.
Yeah.
I saw that in Chicago.
I'm like, when did this start? It was about 3 years ago.
He doesn't eat. He doesn't eat. He's skinny.
He doesn't eat anymore. Skinny as hell.
Stop it.
Yeah.
God, maybe that's what I need to do.
Oh, you get that Mucinex, man. I'll keep taking that.
Yeah, I know.
That makes
Mucinex. Well, you know, put weight on it. But Really? He's skinny?
Yeah, he's skinny as hell now. But this is my favorite interview of the week, and I told you, my dad used to bring me out to Latrobe, PA. We'd go out
practice.
There. Oh, man. We would go, what the hell is that amusement park it used to be out? Idaho Park was out there, and then they would take me down to camp. This is back in the day when you had Rocky and Franco.
We had them all.
We used to have an intern who used to work for us that wanted to take a call, and somebody called in our show. It's these kids nowadays.
Yeah.
And they typed the name up on the screen. And it was Frank O'Harris, like he was some Irish kid. I was like, I talked to the kid. I said, "You get the hell up right now." It's the most disrespectful thing I've ever said.
O'Harris.
Frank O'Harris. I said, "What do you think he is, Irish?" Yeah.
Hey, Frank will call me. Hey, Brad. Franco.
I said, "Yeah, I know who you are. I know who you are."
Hey.
I didn't know Franco stuttered so much. Did you? I never, all those years in the huddle with him, I never knew he stuttered.
I didn't either.
Yeah. Hey.
You played some wackos, man.
Yeah, my ranch manager, she stutters, and God bless her. But after a while, you just start answering for her. What?
He spit it out.
You had a co-star, Mel Tillis, stuttered in Cannonball Run. Man.
Hey, we did this movie, Cannonball Run. Melvin had a airplane, a C-90, and he said, "Let's go up to the ranch in Nashville, and we'll have dinner. I'll get my wife to cook dinner for us, and we'll rehearse the scene in Atlanta." So I said, "Okay." So we go up there, and we pull up two chairs after dinner, and we sit next to one, and I'm pretending to drive the race car. And he says, he finally gets the line down, "Hey, Hoss, there's a cop. He's on our ass. I know where we can hide. Quick, turn left up here, and we'll hide behind the motel." And I said, "Hey, that's perfect, Mel." He says, "Yeah, that's good." Yeah, it was good. So we fly back down to Atlanta. We get in their cars. They're stopping all the highway traffic. We're hooked to a camera truck. Uh-huh. The director's on the camera truck, Hal Needham. Action. I'm pretending to drive. They're pulling us down the highway. He turns around. He says, a house. Cut. We had to stop. We go all the way back. We start again.
How the hell did you
action? Hey, hold on. There's the highway patrolman on our ass. 4 hours.
How did you get
4 hours for one little line? Finally. He gets it down. "Hey, Hoss, there's a highway patrolman on our ass. Quick, I know where we can hide. Take a lift up here." And I went, "Oh, my God." We pull in. He's like, "I did it. I got it." I said, that's phenomenal, man. That is phenomenal. Hal Needham gets off the camera truck, comes over, knocks on the window. It's one of those, you roll the window down. He said, "Mel, now look, I can get any two big actor in Hollywood to come do these lines.
Yeah.
We hired your ass because you stutter. Now, if you ain't going to stutter, I'm going to replace you right now and add 4 more hours. And he just passed away. And I thank God I called him 2 weeks before he died. And he said he had a movie for us. He was writing a script. Then next thing you know, he passed away. What a wonderful man.
Was that the most fun you ever had filming that? I mean, think about the characters you had.
Yeah.
Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis.
Sammy Davis
Jr. Sammy Davis Jr.
Hey, who was Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan was there.
Right.
That's right.
What was the name of the guy? The wacky guy played the mad.
Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise?
And the guy with the eyes. Jack Elam.
Jack Elam. Funny sucker.
Saw him in the movie Maverick on the... something about Sheriff. God, he's funny, though. But just doing those silly movies, you got to meet. And Burt liked having... Yeah. Burt Reynolds loved having all his friends around.
Yeah.
He had them all around.
How'd you get anything work done?
Sitting... We always sat on an igloo cooler full of Stroh's beer. And Mel drank Stroh's beer all day long.
That's Detroit right there.
Oh, my God, man. It was so much fun.
That's maybe the best line you have in the movie. It says, "Well, I'm concerned we're going to have enough ice for all this beer."
And all we got is a one pack.
Plenty.
Such a goober. Such a goober, Mel Tillis. God bless him.
All right, let's talk about a little bit about football. I mean, you're here for the big game.
Yeah.
And I told you this coming off the field last year when they won it. I grabbed you. You won't remember. I said, hey, I'm a Pittsburgh kid. And I said, I remember. You were the first one to win four. Because they always talk about Montana, Brady, and this and that.
Yeah.
When you watch Brady now, he goes for number six.
Six.
Yeah. He had a team up with 2 minutes left in the other two. Potentially could have had eight.
Exactly.
What do you make of this kid doing it at 40? I don't mean.
Oh, I think it's a combination. He is. I was with Joe Montana last night, and I didn't dare bring it up. Because Brady just went past Joe as the greatest Super Bowl quarterback of all time, so I didn't bring it up. Joe and I are such good friends, but I did not bring it up. It didn't bother me.
You know,
being. I think I'm fifth.
Yeah.
It's fine with me. Five's good. So
still good company.
But Brady is just an amazing man. Amazing talent, and it's all about, you know, got a great coach, and they do a great they've kept the nucleus of the team together. They've got a system
that's hard to do nowadays.
Yeah, it is. But
you know, they
have a little bit of the Parcells system because they've always had a great tight end.
Yeah,
you know, and Parcells always had a great tight end, but they do a wonderful job of crossing routes and hooking up on zones and. Just and then slipping them out on a real route, out and up on the side, then a post route. Man, their offense, their system is just. Josh McDaniels does a phenomenal job, and obviously Brady, and they do. Their offensive line just protects him. And you know, it's the old saying. Everybody says, "Well, if you'll get in his face, get in his." Of course, that's with anybody.
Yeah.
But he can't run. He can't move a lick. But he's good in the pocket. But that's how you beat him. You got to get in his face, and you got to hit him a little bit, and smack him around. But he's got five pressures off. He's the best ever in this last couple of decades, for sure. I'm not going to say ever. Mm-hmm. I have made that mistake of saying ever.
Right.
That's not fair to Montana and Unitas and so on and so forth. But he is an amazing, amazing player with great poise and as good as I've ever seen, as I have ever seen. When the game is on the line, you just know. Don't you just know they're going to go down and score? I was telling a writer a while ago, I said, 100% of America, I promise you, who believes New England's going to win, 100%. I don't think anybody thinks in their heart they're going to lose. Do you? Nobody.
No.
Now, 95% of America doesn't want them to win. They hope they don't win.
That's a difference, hoping and knowing.
Hoping and knowing. It's something wished for, you know, but they are amazing, and the fact that they can, that they each season they can relish another season, another chance to be the best in the world. That to me, because I got to tell you, after winning four Super Bowls, I was exhausted, had enough. See ya, I'm out of here.
Really,
I was tired. It was draining. And
thanks a lot. Then we had Cliff Style, Mark Malone after that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well,
I remember you, Dan, when you had the big pack of ice on the elbow.
But
I remember it. I think it was a game against the Raiders. You were out there. You guys got beat. And I remember sitting
the
in my living room.
Bird.
I was crying. You had the burst of sack. You had that big ice on there. And I think my dad said, I think he's done.
Well, when I played against the Jets, I wasn't healed. I should have never played that year. And the doctor that operated on me, on my elbow, should have told me it's going to take a year to heal. He did not say that. And I just kept it inflamed. And then against the Jets, Garrity was coming across on a post route, and I scrambled out to the right, and I saw him, and I snapped it off. I mean, it's a great pass, touchdown.
Yep.
But I snapped that ligament, and that was it. I went over to the sideline, and I'm standing on the sideline, and I'm just screaming in pain. I'm just trying to just not let anybody know how much I was hurting. And Tony Parisi, our equipment manager, walks over, and he said, TB, you okay? Oh, Tony, it hurts so bad. I said, I snapped something. He says, what do you mean to do? I said, pray that we don't get a turnover or something. Fumble! Oh, my God. I had to go back out on the field. I didn't tell anybody I was hurt.
Oh.
And I went out on the field, and I had to throw a wide flare, just a back out on a wide flare. It took every ounce of energy I had to keep the ball moving and got it. Then the last pass I threw in my career was a touchdown to Calvin Sweeney, and it was a pick route, illegal play. And I threw it, and it was end over end, barely. Didn't hit the ground, touchdown, and I said, that's it. I'm out. I'm finished. I'm done.
That's good stuff, man.
Terry, Monday, big day for people calling in sick to work.
Yeah, sort of 14 million.
National sick day, really, is what it's becoming. It is. You're here with Mucinex today.
Right. It's an amazing thing. They're having so much fun, Mucinex is, with this national sick day where people just hashtag Super Sick Monday, because all these people that know they're not going to work
just start
because
pot.
Of the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
they're staying home.
That's all.
So Mucinex is saying, hey, just hashtag us right there and let us know where you are, what you're doing, and what your sickness is, because we know you're not sick. And so it's a fun thing. So I'm going around on behalf of them. And right now, you know, I did one interview earlier, and all three of us are taking Mucinex this morning. I got the flu, and I'm...
Jim Lowe, our producer needs some music. Oh, this guy's been hacking all week.
There it is, man.
This guy right here.
Push the product.
I need some product for him.
Well, there's the guy right there. He'll get you some product.
Terry, appreciate your time today.
Thanks, guys.
So
awesome,
great to see you.
Great. Good seeing you.
Terry Bradshaw.
Enjoy the game.
On Zolak and Bertrand here from Radio Row. Thank you.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Celtics take on the Atlanta Falcons tonight. They're at the TD Garden. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell going to have the call of the game at 7:30. Pregame 7 o'clock right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Meanwhile, the Bruins got the 3-1 win over St. Louis last night. Next up for the Bees, a Saturday night game. They'll stay home again once again to take on the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Super Bowl. Rob Gronkowski cleared from concussion protocol. Any hard feelings over the guy who actually concussed you, Rob?
It is what it is. I mean, it's a split second to make a decision, and it's just running full speed one way. I'm going the other way. It's just part of the game. It happens, and just got to move on.
More from Radio Row coming up here in Minneapolis. Super Bowl 52, Patriots-Eagles just 2 days away. And, of course, you'll hear the game right here on your flagship station for the New England Patriots, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Headlines are brought to you by Live Nation. Don't miss Primus with Mastodon. May 29th, Blue Hills Bank Pavilion. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Live from Minneapolis, it's Zoe and Beadle. Thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. We are at Radio Row at Mall of America in Minnesota on this Friday before the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 52. And we have another guest in our Big Y world-class market guest chair. It's David Faraday from Golf Channel, NBC. He joins us now. David, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. I'd be even better if Paul Blart there at the door had let me in.
Did you have an issue getting in this morning?
I had a little issue, yeah, trying to get in.
It's one of my favorite movies.
But it's all right now, yeah.
I always get you.
It's a terrible
night.
Movie.
I always get your show at night, and it's the perfect time of night because I got three kids and are all in bed at that time.
Put you to sleep.
How do you get the best guests? Who lines your guests?
Yeah,
up?
Who books them? Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's me. You know, I'll make a phone call. Sometimes it's them. You know, or their agent. And but most of the time it's the Golf Channel people. You know that the showrunners.
He does his own golf show.
David, I'm sure you remember our time over the phone at the Sports Hub Golf Club 2 years
yeah,
ago.
Actually, I do remember talking to you. You know?
Thank you. Yes, I remember it too.
Yeah.
I think you had your best finish on the PGA Tour. You played mostly in Europe.
I did, in Boston, yeah.
Yeah, they're at the New England Classic, I think it was called at the time.
Yeah, or the Bank of Boston or something like that.
How much do you play now?
You know, I don't play at all. I haven't been able to play for 11 years. I got run over by a truck riding my bicycle and crushed all the way down the left side. Broken ribs, punctured lung, and this arm is kind of crippled. My left arm doesn't work properly. You know, they can't close my left hand. So, you know, playing golf is out of the question.
But talking to these guys and getting them to open up to you, you seem to get these guys to talk about stuff that they don't necessarily want to talk about with anyone else. Is it because you play that they feel comfortable talking a little bit more about the mental aspect or swing mechanics? Because some of these guys, they don't want that stuff in their head.
Well, yeah. I mean, I question people from a position of weakness. You know, it's not and half the time, you know, the butt of the joke, if there is one, would be myself. You know, so I think they get comfortable maybe talking about things that might not otherwise. You know, because it feels like a safe place. And, you know, the other thing is I get criticized sometimes, you know, for not asking the tough questions. I don't want to do that. You know, I'm not going to ask President Clinton any Monica Lewinsky questions. You know, it's just...
Interview be over.
I think everybody, you know, has heard enough about that. And I'm not Piers Morgan. You know, I have guests. I don't have victims. You know, right. I want them to have a good time on the show.
Well, you had Donald Trump on.
Yes, twice.
You've seen his swing. You've talked to him about the game. Is there any chance he's a legit two handicapper, what he claims to be?
Well, I don't think he's a two, no. I mean, he might be a 10, you know, something like that. He might be single figures. You know, I mean, he is really a pretty good player.
He's a good ball striker.
Yes.
And, you know, when you can drive your own cart up on your own greens, it helps with conserving your energy.
Yes, yeah, that's for sure.
Faraday, this season starts March 5th, 9 o'clock on Golf Channel, but also you're going to the Olympics.
I am.
You what are you doing there?
That's a good question. What am I doing there? what I'm doing is I'm trying not to get a tapeworm, and I'm trying not to get shot. Those are the two most important things.
We did
a good life goals.
Don't laugh. We had a game in Mexico City covering the team.
Yeah.
And it's a little different when you get to Mexico City and you get outside the realm of your nice hotel. When you go two blocks away, you see things you don't see normally in the United States.
Just well, you know, the summer games in Rio was like that. You know, I got outside the hotel. I mean, basically, you needed a submachine gun. it was pretty amazing. The Rio, you know, when you get the statue of Christ up there, you know, with his arms outstretched like this.
Yeah.
You know, what he's actually saying is, seriously? I give you this place and that's what you do with it?
I wonder what kind of statues they have in Pyeongchang.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. A few years ago,
Jesus go to Pyeongchang?
It's Pyongyang that you want to avoid, because the statue there is of that little rocket man.
Oh, yeah. Going to create our own international incident here. This is great.
Yeah.
A few years ago, we were in Phoenix for the Super Bowl, and we went to the Greater Waste Management Open for one of the days we were there. It starts today or yesterday. So that place is nuts.
Absolutely.
I mean, with the arena and the DJs and all that stuff, does golf need more of that, a little bit less than that? And to me, you kind of like are right down the middle, because you got the credibility of a guy who played and a guy who knows the game. But you say some outrageous stuff that no other golf announcer or commentator will say. So when you see a tournament like that, you think that's the way the tour is moving or should be headed?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I love the fact that it's a festival atmosphere. Hole like 16 is so rowdy. I don't think it should be like that every week, but I think we need more of it every week. You know, more of that party, people having fun. You know, and you know, the players having fun on the golf course as well. Because the players, you know, they react differently when they go to Phoenix. I mean, you go to the Waste Management Open, set your stall out, you know what's going to happen. And you see the players that embrace it are generally the ones that play well. And the ones that don't, you know, are the ones that, don't play well.
I was surprised to see the high number of, I don't want to call them hookers, let's call them escorts. Women walking around the course with the patrons there at the Greater Waste Management Open. You don't see women like that generally during the daytime, and generally not at PGA Tour events.
No, well, anywhere you get men with a lot of money, you know, you're going to find, some good-looking women.
Yeah, well, look at Zoe. He's upset he didn't go with us.
I made the invite for Jim Nantz and his private handler, Tommy, and he said, come out with us. Well, you guys can walk the course with us.
Yeah.
The times couldn't match up.
No,
I should have made the times match.
That's a shame.
Yeah, you should have been there. But do you find that you piss a lot of people off in the golf world? Because you're not one of those types that... The guy, like you're saying, the guys who don't embrace those types of events, a lot of stiff people.
I always say, you know, I want to make people laugh, and if I can't make them laugh, I want to make them smile. And if I can't make them smile, then they're the people I want to piss off in the first place.
Makes sense. And you managed to do that a couple of times over the years. We always look at Augusta and the Masters is at U.S. Open should be the main tournament for this country, but people seem to gravitate toward the Masters. Do you think they need to take themselves a little less seriously?
You know, the Masters is kind of a unique vehicle in golf, and it's remained the same. You know, every tournament evolves except the Masters. It stays the same, and that's the way they want it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something magical about that. You know, it's like stepping back in time. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of rules that seem inane and that kind of thing. But, hey, you know, I mean, it's their event. They ran it without commercials for a couple of years, you know, when, you know, so, you know, whatever you, I mean, it's the most extraordinary tournament. I love the tournament. And it's a tournament, not a championship.
That's right. It's an invitational. You got to get the invite.
That's right.
The new young robots, are they good for golf? The Spieth. The lack of personality is what.
Well, I mean, Jordan Spieth's got a personality. You know, it's the problem is, it's so difficult with social media.
Yeah.
You know, to be yourself. I mean, if I did social media when I was playing, you know, I would have been locked up several times. You know, there's a camera, there's a microphone everywhere these days. And people want to know everything. But so it's very difficult for players to you know, be themselves. But, I mean, we have a really nice crop of youngsters. You know, Ricky Fowler and Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, Jason Day. You know, they're the kids that were growing up watching Tiger Woods. You know, and he set the bar so high, and they figure that they can get there.
Didn't you win a tournament once and wake up in a different country after you were done celebrating?
Well, no, that was the Swedish Open, which was played in Barsebäck. And after the first round, I didn't win it. After the first round, I woke up in Denmark.
A good night? You had a good night?
How the hell did that
happen? Well, I have no idea, but there was one sock and a half-smoked cigar in the bed, and I don't smoke. Yeah. The only way it could have been weirder is if there had been $100 extra in my wallet. So I had to get a ferry back, you know, to make my tea time, which I shouldn't have bothered.
Just in the middle of the tournament, you had to go back and play the second round?
Yeah.
How'd you play?
I'm not proud of it. Not proud.
Those are the best ones.
So we're here to cover this football game on Sunday, but what made you come to Minnesota in the dead of winter?
Well, I have two stand-up shows. One was last night at the State Theater, and one tonight in the same place. That's why I came up.
Great reviews for your live shows. Everyone who's attended said, if you like the Golf Channel, if you like Faraday, go see his live show. You're going to like him even more. I've read nothing but raves about your Faraday live.
That's my demographic. People with low standards.
People like you already.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how he gets the guests.
Yeah, that's good.
David Faraday, again, his new season premiering on March 9th, 9 p.m. on Golf Channel. You can also see him during NBC's coverage of the Winter Olympics, which says here you're a huge fan of the Winter Olympics. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love it. It's very slippery. You know, I'm a big curling fan. I've just done a piece on curling and a piece on the biathlon. And, you know, I love it. You know, the ski jump. I love the ice skating. I love the sequins, the costumes, the kiss and cry. And that's just the man.
You root for the crash? On the jump? You root for the crash? Like, we don't see it anymore. Back in the day when we were kids, ABC
the
Wild
ski
World
jumpers,
Sports,
but yeah, every other guy
someone's going
would
over
crash.
The hill, or they're taking out, they're taking
crash.
Out.
Fence.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
like, we don't see that anymore.
You've got to be out of your mind to do some of these sports. I mean, how about the skeleton?
Oh,
you know, on your back an inch from the ice, doing 70 miles an hour down a bobsled run. You know, I mean, the bobsled's bad enough. How'd you like to be the front guy in the bobsled in a crash?
No,
you've got 3 240-pound monsters. You know, slamming into you when you.
I'd rather wake up in a strange bed with a half-smoked cigar and one sock.
Yeah.
It's a much better time.
You live to tell about that. David Faraday, thank you. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, boys. Nice to be with you.
Thank
Good luck
you.
Tonight.
617-779-0985. You want to jump on board? We're going to hear a little bit from Deion Sanders yesterday, and then Phil Perry's going to join us at the top of the hour here on Radio Row. Zolak and Bertrand from Super Bowl 52.
The home of the local call of the big game. Live from Minneapolis, Zoe and Beetle. Sponsored by Direct Federal Credit Union. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Deion Sanders, Hall of Famer with us. What'd you make of the year that Malcolm Butler had? He seemed to go backwards a little bit.
I was very dissatisfied with Malcolm Butler in the playoffs. I was so dissatisfied, I think they heard me. because they start blitzing him.
Start bringing him, yeah.
And that changed the game.
Yeah.
You start blitzing him. It's like, hey, I'm not going to leave him in coverage right now. And he just got to refocus, man. He got to refocus.
On the other side of the field, Stephon Gilmore has gone from a guy at the start of the year, wasn't playing very well, and is now.
But all you remember is that one play. All you remember is that one play. You don't remember nothing else but that one play.
There's a 10-foot-tall photo of it across the food court.
That's all you remember. Nobody remembers nothing that he did.
Yeah.
But nothing that we don't even remember nothing Malcolm Butler did the year that he intercepted the pass. We don't even know if he played before then.
I don't think he did.
He did. But he made better plays down the seam earlier in that Super Bowl against the Seahawks. Down the seam, they had better play than he did at the end of the game. But we forget that.
But that's all it takes is one play, man.
Yeah.
One moment. One moment, and we turn it into a monument.
Scott Zolak had two moments against you. We tried to recount them when you were sat down
you
guys with us last
week. I'm sorry. Why do you guys keep doing this?
I'm sorry,
this?
I hit you. Can we do it again? Can we play them?
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to hear him? Because he walks around. He's got a pretty good opinion of himself. This is our yearly ego check of Scott Zolak.
Let's play him.
Zolak steps up, looks, fires down the left sideline. Could be picked off. It is by Deion Sanders at the 25.
You know what? When the man said could be picked off,
he knew it.
Like it's almost like, why did you throw the ball over there? He didn't say could be caught or could be a great pass. He said could be picked off. Now that's prime. That's like a moment of prime.
Why you hold the ball in the air when you pick it off?
That's what I did as a kid.
The quarterback gets pissed.
But that's what I did as a kid. Like I was like that parking lot dude. You know what dudes do in the parking lot?
Flash.
You know they want to dance, have a good time. I just did it. And was getting paid to do it. This is the only difference.
I'm sorry I hit you late.
That's only.
Yeah, okay.
That's okay.
Do you remember the late hit or you didn't feel it?
No, I
didn't. Feel it.
Where was it?
It was in the Georgia Dome. You got knocked out of bounds. It ran you out of bounds. I came
92. That was you?
Yeah. Yeah. You had Irving Fryer on a deep on a deep.
There's another clause to that story. Do you know the other clause to this story since you remembered this? You know who was involved in this story?
Who?
Was it on our sideline?
Yes.
Goldberg.
Shut up.
Goldberg grabbed you. You don't even
I had no clue who grabbed me, but he grabbed me off.
Let me tell you something. Goldberg was my guy. Bill Goldberg was my guy. He barely played, but I gave him love all the time. I looked out for him. We went to these wonderful restaurants in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We went to these wonderful places.
Clubs.
But, yeah, we had a good time together, and that was my guy. And he was so much my guy that when you hit me out of bounds, he came to my rescue. He got a $5,000 fine, and I paid it for him.
Wow.
Yeah.
You owe Deion Sanders $5,000.
Goldberg.
Him? Come on.
Cut the check.
Dude, I did not know you hit me way out of bounds.
It was out of bounds. I know. It was two steps. But you had that ball up in the air and all that. It's, yeah,
Goldberg. And a big ruckus broke out on the sideline,
high-stepping
right?
stuff. Legs going up there.
Was it a ruckus on the sideline?
I don't remember anything. He just pulled me out and said, get the hell out of here.
Well, if that's the same story, Goldberg was involved.
And that's only one of the two.
That's only one. There's another one.
Great.
Stop, guys. Their own 47. Play action on the pitch back to Zolak. It's a flea flicker. Let's go long and deep for Timpson. Intercepted by Sanders at the 5. Back to the 10. He's to the 15, to the 20, and is heading down at the 24-yard line.
What a smart player he is.
There's another clause to this story. I was a Florida versus Georgia, the first ever All-Star game. All the best players from Florida against the best players from Georgia. I play quarterback in high school. So I'm there to play cornerback or receiver. I see Sammy Smith, which was like 6'2", 6'3", 215. I'm not playing cornerback. Ain't no way in the world I'm hitting that. At 150 pounds. Ain't no way. So I play receiver. Michael Timpson was like this guy that was all world.
Track guy.
Yeah.
Penn State track guy.
They didn't even give us a shot. I actually had 3 catches for 88 yards, led us in receiving that game. But they just rolled out the red carpet. I had that in my head ever since then. I'm going to get him.
You know, we call him Nipsey Russell.
That's it.
Nickname. We used to call him Nipsey Russell.
I'm going to get him, and I wanted him bad. I'm like, I wanted him. I'm going to jam you every chance I get. Because I was still mad that they looked over me in that game. Man, this is some good game.
It's good.
You got to come up with something, some way that Zoe can pay you back. He's not going to give you $5,000.
Zoe, let me tell you something. I didn't know that was you. I really did. Here you go. I remember picking this thing up and holding
Rolex,
it up.
Man. Take my Rolex.
I can't do that to you. But I do remember the only reason that was the first time I ever held it up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the first time brand new dome. You guys had to bring. You rolled it out.
Time. You were like you're
black jerseys and black helmets.
You are the genesis of holding that thing up.
Well, yeah, Jerry too. And Jerry's telling me, man, I should have drafted you. He's telling me in the pregame, you throw that ball through my. He said, I should have drafted you instead of that dumbass fart, man. Look at him. Hey, Mississippi. He used to call him Mississippi.
That sound like Jerry too.
Mississippi.
So you inspired him to hold the ball up for the very first time. You guys even?
That's the first time I ever held it up.
Okay, so you forgive him for the $5,000?
Yeah. I do.
Okay.
I do. You're a good man.
Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders, who was with us yesterday here on Radio Row. Just a quick replay of a portion of that interview. He was a lot of fun.
Good job, Hardy.
Damn, that was a good one. That was a good one.
Energy.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to make sure that you guys are square.
Yeah, we're square now.
You're square.
Everybody's good.
Yeah.
Everybody's good. Caller 12 to the Pride Motor Group contest line right now at 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 gift card to the Under Armour Brady House on Boylston Street. Under Armour makes you better.
Ooh.
Boston makes you better. And right now, you can get that $100 gift card by being caller 12 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We are here on this Friday on Radio Row, and why don't you give us an hourly sponsor there, Hardy?
Oh, I would be happy to do that, Beetle. It's brought to you by Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Rob Ninkovich at 1-800-GET-HAIR.
Oh, that's terrific.
It is. It's good stuff.
Phil Perry is going to join us here today. He's not going to join us when we said he was going to join us. He was supposed to join us coming up right after these headlines. We're going to push him back an hour. So we're pushing Phil Perry back a little bit. But he will be with us today. Donnie and Jenny, still a go, right? They're still a go. Donnie and Jenny. That's Jenny McCarthy, Donnie Wahlberg. They were on with us a year ago. Louie Anderson coming up later on in the show today. those are the celeb interviews. But we've got some time here that we want to give you a couple takes. A couple takes on some things, a couple thoughts, though.
Yeah.
That I'd like to get to. Just kind of end-of-week thoughts, try and get to some of your calls. We're also going to hear from Chad O'Shea and Josh McDaniels in this hour.
That's good. Two of the best interviews we did all week.
Best interviews this week, and they also had some stuff that's very relevant to the game that's going to be happening on Sunday.
It's a football game.
The big game?
Yeah.
The big game?
We'll be talking about that at some point.
The big game. This hour on Radio Row, this coverage from Radio Row, has been brought to you by Spiegel Scrap Metal. Our thanks to Spiegel Scrap Metal for supporting the show all week long here in Minnesota. All right, let's get to the headlines with Hardy. 90 seconds, no commercials, but right back.